Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the We Are Podcast on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. We like to blame people in life when something doesn't go our way. We're always looking for somebody to blame. That's just the way human nature is, really, unfortunately, because a lot of times, you know, there really is nobody to blame. So, I want to get into the Micah Shrewsbury basketball coach situation. Micah left this week to go to Notre Dame. I saw this coming for weeks and weeks and weeks. As soon as Mike Bray, it was announced that he was going to be leaving, I thought all along that Micah Shrewsbury was going to be an outstanding candidate for that Notre Dame job. All he had to do then was go and earn it. And so the irony is, and this is just what Penn State basketball is, we got this great 3-week run of excitement and bubble and getting in and winning a game and almost getting to the Sweet 16. And in doing that, Micah Shrewsbury played himself out of the job at Penn State. And it just so happened, from a Penn State perspective, the terrible luck that the Notre Dame job was open. I joked in my column that I wrote throughout the week, you know who's to blame here? Mike Bray, the Notre Dame coach, who was terrible this year. He picked the wrong season to be terrible. If Notre Dame had been good this year and the Notre Dame job wasn't open, would Micah Shrewsbury still be the coach at Penn State today? Yes, I think so. He didn't get the Georgetown job. I don't think he was going to take the Providence job. And so I think he would still be at Penn State if the Notre Dame job had not come open. So is there really anybody to blame? Are we to blame athletic director Pat Kraft? Hey, look, folks, the early rumors, and I don't know if I believe these, but I've heard this from multiple people that I'm in contact with dozens of people in and around Penn State all the time. They'll contact me. I'll contact them. Whatever. I mean, this is kind of ongoing cycle of communication. That's just the way it works. And I've heard from a handful of people that they think that Penn State offered Micah Shrewsbury somewhere around $4 million, if not a little more, a year. That number is staggering to me. I did not think the school would approach that kind of number with Micah Shrewsbury. But whether it did for a fact or not, I don't know. But are we to blame Patrick Kraft, the AD, for not making a big enough push to keep Micah Shrewsbury? No, I don't think so. I mean, if they're offering him, I thought if they offered him $3.5 million, that's about what the school could do. If they offered him anything close to four, man, I applaud Pat Kraft. I would pat him on the back and say, good for you. Because this is what people wanted. They wanted Penn State to commit to men's basketball. I'm here to tell you, I think they did. But one of a handful of jobs that Micah Shrewsbury had to take wound up coming open. I kept saying Notre Dame, Indiana, Purdue. Those are the Indiana schools that Micah Shrewsbury was going to leave for, really, regardless of what was going on at Penn State. And so I don't blame Pat Kraft. I did write an interesting story. Some people mentioned to me throughout the week, it ended up being about 8 or 10 people, even after I wrote the story, why was Pat Kraft at the wrestling championships last Saturday instead of the NCAA tournament game against Texas? I mean, come on. I just don't buy that complaint at all. It was the wrestling national. It was a national championship. You know, the AD has got to be at the national championship. It's silly to me that people are griping about that and saying Pat Kraft wasn't committed to, you know, showing Micah Shrewsbury a commitment. But coaches, players, they find ways to get offended. Hey, you listening to this show, wherever you are, you're probably offended by certain things. Certain things trigger you because in life, we all get offended by things. I'm generally not offended by almost anything. The only thing that offends me is people who get offended by every damn thing. So if you're out there and you're offended that Micah Shrewsbury if Michael Shrewsbury's offended that Pat Kraft didn't come to the Sweet 16 and chance for a Sweet 16 NCAA tournament game because he's at the wrestling now, then you're out of order. You're out of place. Michael Shrewsbury, if he's upset about that, then he's at fault there, not the AD. The AD's got to be at the wrestling national championship. Now, having said all that, they had clinched the national championship early Saturday morning. Penn State played basketball later at night at 7 o'clock. Sure, the AD could have gotten there to the basketball game, and he didn't. I think that might have been a mistake, but still. I mean, that's not the reason Micah Shrewsbury left. Micah Shrewsbury left because the Notre Dame job came open. So now what's going to be very interesting is how much money, how much of a commitment is Pat Kraft, how much are they going to make for basketball for the next coach? Dave Jones from Penn Live, who caught up with Micah Shrewsbury, great interview, exit interview. You need to check that out. He reported, I think it was Friday, that looks like he thinks Penn State's going to give maybe upwards of $4 million a year to the next coach. That blows me away. I love to hear it. I'm just surprised by it because of all the finances. But folks, you offer $4 million bucks, your candidate pool is massive. You can get a superstar. You can get a guy who has been a head coach and been very, very, very successful somewhere else. At $2 million, you kind of had to needed to give a Micah Shrewsbury kind of guy. Even though a guy wasn't necessarily a head coach, but great resume, NBA experience, connections. That's what you were going to get for $2 million. At $3 million, you get a little something better. At $4 million, you have your pick of the litter, really, for 95%+ of coaches maybe in this country in terms of finances. Now, it is still Penn State. It is still a tough job, an incredibly tough job. So just because they go offer $4 million to somebody doesn't necessarily mean that a guy making 3.2, 3.5 somewhere else is just going to leave whatever job he's got and jump at the chance to come to Penn State, where quite frankly, it could be a mess next year. It could be a gigantic mess next year with the whole team leaving, recruits bailing. I mean, unless the next coach gets some superstars out of the transfer portal, next year could be really bad for Penn State. And that's what the next guy could potentially face. But if you're going to be offering close to $4 million bucks, the names that we could be hearing, I think maybe starting Monday or Tuesday, I think it's going to happen kind of quickly. They could be some really big names. I would just caution everybody, though, just because you hear a big name doesn't necessarily mean that guy is going to leave whatever. Look, if you're making close to $4 million a year somewhere else, you got a pretty damn good situation where you've probably succeeded a lot. And you can get to the NCAA tournament. They feel like you can get to the NCAA tournament. You feel like you can get to the NCAA tournament. Just because Penn State offers $4 million doesn't mean that coach is going to be in a better situation in terms of getting to the NCAA tournament or building a foundation of success. So, because look, there are still many, many obstacles at Penn State. I look forward to these next few days or week or so to wait till we can hear some of these names that come out. Research some of them, see who might be a good fit. A lot of you might be saying, oh, the Florida Atlantic coach, Dusty May, that dude's in the Final Four. And he's got a good team, I believe, coming back next year. And he's already bypassed the Penn State job to me. I could be wrong with this. If they offer $4 million or whatever, and they can get a guy like Dusty May, that's one thing. But he's in the Final Four. He's already bypassed Penn State. You know, if he had won a game or two in the tournament and Penn State comes and offers him $4 million, hey, that's great. That guy's in the Final Four. He's going to be the number one candidate, you would think, or right there for any major job. Jobs that might be open. I don't know if they're which jobs might still be open or could open. The Penn State job is a good job. It's a lucrative job. But whatever the best job is out there, that's what Dusty May could end up taking this. Or maybe he goes back to FAU and waits for something better next year, better than Penn State. Because the bottom line is, we all still know what the Penn State job is. Just because Micah Shrewsbury got hot for 3 weeks, and think about this, Micah Shrewsbury, 7-year contract, probably $4 million a year at Notre Dame. He may be getting close to $30 million at Notre Dame off of 3 weeks. Wrap your mind around that. Micah Shrewsbury got hot for 3 weeks, went from 5-9 in the Big Ten to winning a game in the NCAA tournament to going to Notre Dame for close to $30 million. The guy's life completely changed over a 3 to 4 week span. It's just remarkable. All right, welcome back. I want to get into this for a little bit. Story throughout the day Thursday on Twitter that played out. Really fascinating. I have a story up on it on DK Pittsburgh Sports. The discussion I want to have is about the unity and everybody kind of rowing the boat in the same direction at Penn State and everybody trying to be on the same page. Because there are still people at Penn State who are not on the same page. And we were reminded of that once again on Saturday. So Jay Paterno sends out a tweet because, look, part of the narrative about Micah Shrewsbury leaving is that Penn State couldn't come up with enough NIL money, and that's partly to blame. Look, he went to Notre Dame because Notre Dame was a great job for him. But Jay Paterno tweets, fact, colon, dedicated Penn State fans / community and success with honor met every basketball NIL request. The latest increase exceeded in just 2 days. That's how Penn State alumni responded. Those spreading any counter narrative only hurt the program's coaching search and future. On the surface, the tweet does not seem all that bad. It seems like he is saying, hey, Penn State did try to come up with the NIL support for basketball. Whoa, boy. Michael Motti did not like that, though. Michael Motti, the former linebacker who, during the scandal and during the NCAA sanctions, showed tremendous leadership, spokesperson for the football program. And since there weren't many people speaking for the university, Michael Motti kind of became a university spokesman during all that time. Well, Michael Motti co-founded the Lions Legacy Club, which is an NIL collective. You got to figure Michael Motti knows what's going on with the NIL stuff at Penn State. So even though it seemed relatively benign what Jay Paterno tweeted, Michael Motti comes guns a-blazing, brother. He says, fact number one, colon, the response from dedicated alumni is the result of you and your cronies' definition of, quote, meeting every basketball's NIL request. Then he says this to Jay in his tweet. How can you continue to spit this garbage? You continue to undermine the progress and efforts being made to genuinely align and unify PSU. That is a nuclear missile aimed at Jay Paterno from Michael Motti. Make no bones about it. Jay Paterno is a member of the Board of Trustees. Michael Motti flat out says, you continue to undermine the progress and efforts being made to genuinely align and unify PSU. Michael Motti was on the team when Jay Paterno was an assistant coach. You got to figure they know each other pretty well. Everything I've heard, Michael Motti has no respect whatsoever for Jay Paterno. So Michael Motti has another tweet. Fact number two, you voted against the football on BOT. Please remind, why are you even in this conversation? We need alignment, not rhetoric about counter narratives. Go to Capitol Hill with that slander. Let those who intend on actually unifying PSU community advance so we can thrive. Folks, I'm probably going to offend some of you I may piss some of you off with this. I have no time for Jay Paterno. None whatsoever. I have no respect whatsoever for Jay Paterno. Zero. Jay Paterno, I saw this. This is always a good line. Jay Paterno was born on third base. Somebody else tweeted that, so I don't know who it was. Jay Paterno was born on third base. Everything Jay Paterno has in his life is because of his last name. Michael Motti is one of the greatest leaders in Penn State football history. Jay Paterno, and this is a comment somebody else posted on the story, and I do believe this. Jay Paterno is about Jay Paterno. Somehow Jay Paterno got elected to the Board of Trustees despite being completely selfish and about Jay Paterno. And his number one priority, I believe, in life is clearing his father's image, getting some level of justice for the people who lashed out against his father. I don't believe it for a second Jay Paterno's number one priority is looking out for the best interest of Penn State University and the Penn State University football program. I do not believe that. Jay Paterno is out for Jay Paterno and the Paterno family. Now look, some of you, if you're a longtime Penn State football fan, you may love the fact that Jay keeps fighting tooth and nail a decade after the fact for Joe's legacy. That's great. The legacy is gone. The legacy is never coming back. Not ever. Not today, not tomorrow, not in a century, not in a billion years. Joe Paterno's legacy is shot. Now, for Penn State fans who want to remember and relish Joe Paterno's legacy for what he did and accomplished, absolutely, go right ahead. And you can feel good that Jay wants to resurrect that or clean it up in some way, the narrative. You can feel that way, but you can't feel that way and believe that Jay Paterno has the best interest of the current football program and the future of the football program at heart. Jay Paterno's number one priority in life, I believe, is getting his father's legacy back to where he and his family want it. And that's what Michael Motti's talking about here in terms of, and Michael goes on to tweet, I didn't even put this in there, one of his last tweets was, "Your input on this matter is toxic and your relevancy has expired in this era of collegiate athletics." Folks, this continues to be a problem for Penn State. How many of you hope Penn State football can win a national championship in the next few years under James Franklin? He keeps talking. You need everybody at the university fully on board, 365 days a year, doing everything they can. Everybody on the same page. Everybody working together. Jay Paterno voted against a $48 million football improvement to the football facilities a few years ago. That's what Michael Motti's talking about. Do you think Jay Paterno wants to see James Franklin win a national championship? I struggle with that. Because I'm just not certain. You would think that the member of a board of trustees for a major university with a tremendous football program and tradition that he would absolutely love if Penn State wins a national championship. Deep down in his heart, I truly do wonder if Jay Paterno wants James Franklin and Penn State to win a national championship, because I do believe in some way Jay would feel like that would take away some level of legacy for his father, Joe. And that is so unbelievably ridiculous and sad. But Jay Paterno is about Jay Paterno and the Paterno name. I have no time for him. The university has moved on. They are trying to deal with things in the present and the future. Jay and his family will always be locked on the past. And as long as that's the case, we're going to have this Michael Motti thing. This is not the biggest story in the world, but it is a story simply because it shows that these factions still exist. There are some people that are trying to help Penn State University and its athletic program and football program to be the very best that they possibly can on Sunday, March 26th, 2023. And there are some people still at Penn State whose primary concern is Joe Paterno's legacy. And it is hard to do both of those things at the same time. If you're going to fight for Joe's legacy all the time and you're going to in some ways sabotage what the program is trying to do going forward, voting against a football upgrade, then how can you sit there and say that you're doing everything you can for the program to succeed? So, hey, look, like I said, some of you may be offended by all that, especially if you're a loyal Joe Paterno, Joe Bot, as they said years ago, but you got to move on. You can cherish everything Joe did, but if there are people like Jay Paterno and others on the board of trustees and others at the university whose primary concern is living in the past, then they are not going to be able to help deliver the best possible future for Penn State football and the university. Final segment here of the We Are podcast on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. I was at Penn State's Pro Day on Friday. I'll have some stories about this coming up this week. Really, the most interesting thing that came out of it to me, the big story was Joey Porter Jr. and Steelers folks there, Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator. Everybody wants to know where Joey's going to go. I don't think he'll be there at 17 for the Steelers. I think somebody else will pick him up before that. But to me, really, the most interesting thing that came out of Penn State Pro Day was Sean Clifford. Sean Clifford saying he felt snubbed by not getting invited to the NFL Combine, says that he felt disrespected, says that he feels like he's a pro. I was standing right behind Sean during the interview and just kind of taking it all in because 15 minutes earlier, I had seen Sean Clifford badly overthrow five passes during his pro day workout for scouts. He looked good on some throws. Then he hit one or two that were a little high, and then he overshot a guy by 5 feet, and he was just inconsistent. And it was just everything that Sean Clifford's career has always been. He runs a 4.57 40. That's really good. That's really good for a quarterback, a 4.57 40. I think Sean Clifford's a pretty good athlete. I think Sean Clifford's a very smart guy. I think Sean Clifford is a tremendous leader. But during his throwing session, he didn't look like an NFL quarterback. Not at all. I mean, and that's always kind of been the thing with Sean. Sean can do so many things. I used to write a lot of stories about this, that the coaches would always talk about Sean's leadership and how good he was pre-snap and how good he was in the locker room and the meeting rooms. And they didn't really talk about his play all that much. They didn't really talk about his throwing all that much. Now, I give Sean a lot of credit. Sean had a really good close to his career, won a Rose Bowl, rewrote his legacy some as a Penn State quarterback. It doesn't change the fact, though, that he was still a pretty average college quarterback for his entire career. And I don't see his name on any draft lists, and I don't think he's going to get drafted. I don't think he'll ever play a snap in the NFL. Here's the thing. I loved Matt McGloin's moxie. Matt McGloin was moxie. He wore this giant chip on his shoulder, and he was not going to be denied. And I do think Sean Clifford is pretty much like McGloin in terms of that self-confidence and he's not going to be denied kind of thing. But at the end of the day, the play on the field, Matt McGloin started 7 games in the NFL. I mean, he started some games in the NFL and overcame every bit of adversity. I love the fact that Sean Clifford has this kind of confidence in himself. But I heard him talk about being disrespected 15 minutes after I'd just watched him have a pretty mediocre to pedestrian pro day throwing the football. And I'm sure NFL scouts came out of there saying, this guy's 24 years old and he's overthrowing guys by 2 feet on every fifth, sixth, seventh throw. I was back at Christian Hackenberg's pro day 8 years ago, whatever, and I think we tracked him. He completed like 55 out of 57 passes. He had a phenomenal pro day. That's part of why Christian went in the second round. The scouts fell in love with him at pro day and some other things. I just can't imagine scouts leaving Penn State's pro day thinking Sean Clifford can play in the NFL. Sean Clifford thinks he can play in the NFL, and he felt snubbed and disrespected, and maybe he uses that as motivation, and maybe at some point he hears this podcast and he says, I'm going to prove that guy wrong, and that's great. I would love to see it. Sean, I think Sean's a good guy. I think Sean's going to be tremendously successful in whatever he does in life. I really do. I think he's a great leader. He really earns your respect in a lot of ways, as long as it's not necessarily throwing the football. And so I keep coming back to that. We can praise the guy in so many ways, but if you watch him throw the football, you kind of want to pull your hair out. And we saw that for the last 16 years while he was the starting quarterback. And yes, he did rewrite his legacy at the end, but I still don't believe that was enough, you know, given his age and everything that NFL teams are going to take a chance. I'll have some other stories as well. Parker Washington, I asked Parker Washington point blank, how much are you gambling coming out in the draft after an injury? And he really can't even work out for people right now. He wouldn't say how close he is to 100%. He said he's getting close, but he wouldn't give us a number. So it's a pretty big gamble. You're coming out and you can't work out for teams, as opposed to if you come back for another year, next year, you get to work out for everybody. So I'll have a story on that as well, plus some other stuff. But hey, keep in mind, over the next 4 or 5 days, we'll probably still have a lot of basketball stories, some coaching candidates. We'll hear some rumors about coaches possibly coming to Penn State or whatever. And it's going to be kind of a fun time then as we wrap up the NCAA tournament here over the next week or so. And then we, you know, can finally get to the bottom of who's going to be coming to Penn State, what that guy's resume is going to be. It's going to be very interesting. As always, everybody, appreciate you tuning in to the We Are Podcast. We will catch up with you next week here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network.